Welcome into the Rockies Insider. It's Patrick Lyons, live from Coors Field, talking about the Colorado Rockies. No surprise there. A little bit of history made by Hunter Goodman. A little bit of first place in the how young is your roster rankings, injury updates, and on this date in history. Hunter Goodman, look, he's made history. Not on the field, not yet. He was named the 2025 winner of the Heart and Hustle Award presented by the Players Association, given annually to active players who exemplify a true passion for the game and who best embody the value, spirit, and traditions of the game. It's actually the only MLB award voted on by former players. So good for Hunter Goodman making his mark in the community for the Heart and Hustle Award. A lot of great Rockies have won this award over the years, who've given back to the community, players that, you know, fans do not forget anytime soon. You know, thinking back to this past weekend of seeing so many of the weird Cubs jerseys of, you know, they're vintage, right? If you see a player that is no longer on the team, it's vintage rather than, look, I just happen to own a Kerry Wood jersey, whatever it may be, or a Cubs Chris Bryant number 17 jersey. Like, you see those, it's a shame a little bit that there aren't more of those for the Rockies. Like, when you see just a Ryan Spielberg's jersey in the wild, that's cool. That's great. There should be more of those that went out into rotation or stayed in rotation. A Carlos Gonzalez, which I feel like I don't see a ton of those around. You think you would. Matt Holliday, I don't see a ton of those. It's really just the ones that are in the team store. It's Larry Walker. It's Todd Helton. You still have people that will rock their Nolan Arenado jersey, as they should. Absolutely. I do love that. But I would love to see some really, you know, some more obscure jerseys around. I think I have, and I got this at a consignment shop, so I got it literally secondhand, and I got it after the fact. But I think it was a Rafael Betancourt number 63 jersey that I got at the Arc or Goodwill, something like that. And I thought, well, this should go in my closet and I'd never wear it. A Nathan Perez jersey. Great example in the chat. Yes, I feel like I've never seen one of those in the wild. There should be more of those fun ones. And, you know, they exist. They are out there. But it would be cool to see a few more than that. You know, Rockies, with some of their recent transactions and some of the transactions of other teams, going into Sunday, they had an average age of 26.2. Think about that. The average player was 26.2 years old. That's tied with the Washington Nationals for the youngest roster in the majors. What does that mean? Well, it does mean that the young guys are playing. You let the kids play. Well, they're absolutely doing that. And now that the Rockies have finally been forced to let the kids play, you know, which is something that's, you know, essentially been uttered by fans, shouted from the rooftops by fans since 2022, it's finally happening, and they need a lot more than just young kids playing. They need impact players. And this offseason is going to be so interesting because the payroll is down right now a lot over what it's been the last few years. So they've got money to spend. I don't know who it's going to be on. I don't know where that money is going to go. I do have some thoughts on what they could do. It's probably not what they're going to do, but it would be very interesting. It would be very interesting to see how they might factor in on some of these free agents. I think at this point, they're really going to be mid-tier free agent kind of an organization. Tyro Estrada and Kyle Farmer, that bottom of the middle tier, if you will. I don't know that there really is even a low tier of free agent. That's just a guy that maybe as a non-roster invite, or, you know, a one-year deal for a really low amount, or really a waiver transaction like Jimmy Hergett, who, you know, wasn't exactly a free agent, but was waived. And hey, we added a quality relief pitcher, didn't cost us a ton. That's that low end, right? So the Rockies probably need to operate in the middle tier just a little bit. But if you're a free agent out there, do you want to come try to be a part of this and turn things around? Yeah, I think there are guys that are up for that challenge. You just got to really make sure if they are here for that reason, if they are not here just for a paycheck. Everyone's there for a paycheck, but they also need to be there for something else. And, you know, the Rockies have struggled to find some of those guys, or struggled to really sign those kind of deals with players. And it'll be interesting to see what they do in the bullpen because we still haven't had any health updates on Seth Halvorsen and Zach Agnos. You know, it's going to be touch and go. I've said before, I don't think Halvorsen is going to pitch again this year, despite the fact that they, you know, I've said maybe it could happen. I don't think it makes sense to even try to get him back, right? Like almost force the issue of, we don't even want you to throw a ball until like a week out for the end of the season. Just take this off season to rest. We do know that Dugan Darnell saw him limping around the clubhouse. Sad, he's of course on the 60-day IL, but he's scheduled for hip surgery towards the end of September. And this hip surgery was something that he was possibly going to need regardless. But when he got hit by that line drive by Alex Call during Dodgers-Rockies game on August 21st, that really just exacerbated the situation. So best case scenario, Darnell could be back by midseason of next year. So we'll see. He'll start the next season on the 60-day injured list. It does mean that in the offseason, how it works is every player is on the 40-man roster. There is no 60-day IL in the offseason. So he'll just have to be on he'll get activated from the 60-day IL, despite the fact he'll have, you know, a nasty scarring and a lot of healing left to do. He's getting married this offseason as well in October. So he'll be walking down the aisle with a cane. That's the life of a ball player. It is. That's the life of a professional athlete. I think we often take for granted how each of us civilians can manage our bodies as best or as much as we would like. You know, we can tend to issues when we need to and when we want to, or even when we don't want to. But you know, this is the only body we ever get, just one. That's it. And it's the reason why Sandy Koufax retired at the age of 30, because he was already having shoulder issues. Andrew Luck, Indianapolis Colts, called it a career at age 29. Buster Posey, age 34, a catcher, a little bit different. That's ancient in catcher years. But dude posted a 3.6 B-War season, got some MVP votes, won the Silver Slugger Award that year, helped the Giants win 107 games and win the NL West over the Dodgers. Most wins in Giants franchise history. That's 150 years of Giants baseball. Buster Posey called it a career. You could argue Ian Desmond, it was part of his decision from walking away from $25 million. Only part of it. He wanted to be with his family, but he gave back a lot of money to the Rockies because baseball is a grind. It's absolutely a grind. So, you know, we hope for a speedy recovery for all those guys. Over in the chat, I like this question. I can talk about a schedule for a long time, and since we've only just received the 2026 schedule, yeah, it can be cut up and divided many different ways. Back when I would do when I had a podcast with Drew Goodman, the voice, the TV voice of the Colorado Rockies, we sort of did a draft choice, a road trip draft choice for that season, saying like, what are the best road trips? You know, like the Rockies still have a great one coming up with, in fact, their final two are pretty great. Dodgers and Padres. Now, you want to go to LA and San Diego. You want to go to Southern California in April and May when you're, you know, trying to escape still some of the cold in Colorado. But those are two fantastic weather cities to go and travel to. And then their final week this season, it's going to be Mariners and then Giants. It could be a little bit colder there, but that's a great trip to do. So the 2026 schedule, Felix asks about, and it's pretty tough early on. So they open in Miami, where they typically never play very well, at least at the start of a season. They did sweep the Marlins to start June, right at the beginning of Warren Schaefer's tenure. So maybe things will change. But you open up in Miami for a Marlins team that has been playing a lot better in the second half. Not as much recently, but overall, they've improved. Toronto, who, if they win the AL East, you got to look at them as another postseason contender going into 2026. Phillies, Astros, Padres, Astros on the road, Dodgers, Padres, Mets, Reds. There's a chance that other than the Marlins, the first, six teams that they play in April could all be postseason clubs. Holy smokes. Wow. Yeah, that's a rough schedule, you know, and then To start May, it's Atlanta, who you know is going to be there. They've got the players. Mets again, Phillies. You get a break with the Pirates. Bottom line is, when you are the worst team in baseball, every team is better than you. And every team is going to look a lot and feel a lot better than you. That's something that the Rockies need to fix. That's something they need to address drastically this offseason. And they need to figure out if GM Bill Schmidt is the man for the job. What is the job? That's really the bigger question. It's owner Dick Monfort. Is the job to keep the team financially soluble? And hey, here's how much money I'm going to give you. Don't worry about the win-loss record. Just stay between the lines. We don't want any embarrassments. We don't want anything crazy going on. You know, we'll figure it out. We'll try to do it. Cross our fingers. Hopefully everyone stays healthy. Hopefully everyone has a career year. That could be the job. That could be the assignment. And maybe, just maybe, Bill Schmidt sticks around because they look at the few changes that they made throughout the season and said, hey, we were better with Warren Schaefer than we were with Bud Black. A lot better with Warren Schaefer than Bud Black. Maybe we don't need to do much more. It would not shock me if that was the case for this team. It would not. Or they go a different direction and they bring in a new GM, someone from outside the organization, you would have to hope. And they decide to shake things up just a little bit. That will be interesting to see. Luke saying, what position would you like to see us land in free agency? I mean, other than Ezekiel Tovar at shortstop, I don't think there is any player at any position that is locked up. I don't. Kyle Karras at third base, he's still got a way to go, right? And again, are we talking a signing a player to a five-year deal? Probably not. But a 2-3-year deal? Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't necessarily block Kyle Karros at third base, especially if you sign a certain type of third baseman that can also play some second base. Isak Paredes, for example. Maybe he is one of those guys, right? But, you know, shortstop is really that one spot. I think Brendan Doyle, you still feel good about him in center field. You feel good about Beck in left field. Again, can you upgrade at those positions? Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are a handful of better players than those guys, right? There's no superstars on this roster right now. Even with Hunter Goodman, you could look and say, well, if we got an everyday catcher that caught three of our five starting pitchers and the other 2 days were Hunter Goodman, and then when Hunter Goodman's not catching, he's DHing, would you have a problem with that? I don't think you would. I don't think you would at all. So other than shortstop, and then even at center field, you're saying, well, Brendan Doyle defensively is that guy there. Other than that, everything's up for grabs. The biggest need, of course, is starting pitching, and that's been the one area they've struggled to figure out. And really what they need to do is, you know, besides develop an analytics team, they need to invest a little bit in some free agent starting pitchers. I mean, if you want to look at where their ERA is, and it's, you know, it very well, starting pitching ERA could be the worst starting pitcher's ERA in the history of baseball. You'd have to say that that's embarrassing. The starting pitching has been embarrassing for the last 3 years. So if you need to overpay for something that's not embarrassing, then do it. If you go back and look at what Mike Hampton was able to do on the mound, he wasn't embarrassing. His contract might not have looked great. His contract, what it might have made you say, well, that's frustrating. We're not getting an all-star out of this. Well, I did actually get an all-star starting pitcher that first year with the team in 2001. He was an all-star. But Darryl Kyle, you can go back and look and say, he was fine, right? The ERA was inflated, but because of ballpark factors, yeah, your ERA is going to be that much more here at Coors Field. So if you need to pay a pitcher $20 million to have a 4-5 ERA, then maybe you don't lose 100 games. And maybe some of these young players can learn how to win more than they currently are learning. So starting pitching just has to get addressed. This is much more of a conversation for another time. Philip saying, Pete Alonso, DH first base, how many home runs would he hit here? I mean, every day would be the home run derby in 2021. That would be fun. Is Warming Bernabéu the first baseman of the future? No, I don't think we know that. I'm not saying he isn't going to be. I'm just saying he's not definitively yes. Tovar is the only player right now I think we can look at and say is definitively the player at that position of the future. That's it. And even still, is he heading towards a Hall of Fame career? Is he going to be a multi-time All-Star? Right now, I would say, okay, maybe two or three. He could outkick that coverage, no doubt about it. But Rockies can upgrade just about everywhere. They're that far down. Nothing should be out of the question. Casey Mize will be a free agent. Sure, he could be one of those guys that can, you know, carry some weight and tack on some innings. That's another piece too. When you sign a guy to a long-term deal or just give him, you know, substantial amounts of money, there's going to be times where he's going to have to eat up innings and he doesn't have the stuff. Like, look, we need you to go at least five tonight. I don't care if you give up seven in the first inning. You're going five innings tonight. You're not going to do that quite as much with a young player because there's that confidence factor. But when you're compensating a player with big money, you got to go out there and eat that. And that's that.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
We've all been stuck in a dinner routine rut, bored with the same takeout options, or eating a bowl of cereal for dinner. But picking tonight's meal doesn't have to be stressful. Here's an idea. Let Cook Unity handle dinner tonight with premium meals delivered right to your door. New menu drops, weekly recommendations, and a growing community of award-winning chefs. Your meal options are endlessly delicious with a team of over 160 innovative chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small batch meals. Cook Unity offers a variety of over 400 meals for every palate. Cook Unity has flexible programs that you can pause, skip, or cancel at any time. Find the perfect plan for your dietary needs and lifestyle. Shake up your meal routine. Go to cookunity.com/RUT or enter code RUT before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/RUT.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
All right, on this day in Colorado Rockies history, two debuts on September 2nd, Dexter Fowler in 2008 and Raimel Tapia in 2016. Remember Raimel Tapia? Remember Raimel Tapia? Not to mention two other debuts, Elvis Pena, infielder, 10 games in 2000. And I also had in my notes, Shane Lindsay from 2011 debuted. And it was in my notes. I got a gigantic spreadsheet. Patty Stats loves the spreadsheets. And I go, wait a minute, I don't recognize that name, Shane Lindsay. Popped it up on Baseball Reference. Never played for the Colorado Rockies. So just like you, I thought, who is Shane Lindsay? What does he have to do with the Rockies? He does have something to do with the Rockies. He was signed out of Australia by the Rockies as an international free agent at the age of 18 in 2003. Made his pro debut with Casper in Wyoming in 2004. They were still the Casper Rockies back then. They wouldn't be the Casper Ghosts until 2008. He eventually did reach AAA in 2010 before being waived in May of that year. Bounced around a bit until debuting for the White Sox in 2011, 27th Australian to appear in the majors. But it was not with the Rockies, who've only had one Australian pitcher, Mark Hutton, ever pitch for the team. And coincidentally, was traded for Craig Counsell. Not a good trade. Rockies did not win that deal. Eight games, and then he was gone by the end of the year. So bad rental. But I also found it interesting that Shane Lindsay, okay, from Australia, debuted in 2011. That's the same year that Liam Hendricks debuted, who's still going, by the way. So kudos to him. Lindsay pitched in four games for the White Sox in 2011. Lindsay also pitched for the Albuquerque Isotopes in 2013, but they were a Dodgers affiliate at that point. Back in September 2nd, 1992, Colorado businessmen Jerry McMorris, Orrin Benton, and Charles Monfort acquire the owning interest of the Denver Baseball Club, the Colorado Rockies. Notice I didn't say Dick Monfort. Dick Monfort was not an original part of the Colorado Rockies. It was his younger brother, Charlie Monfort, that was the guy that stepped up to bring in a lot of extra money. I'm not sure how much you might know about the history of the Rockies, but Mickey Moniz, did I have that name right? Because it sounds a lot like Mickey Moniak. But Mickey Moniz was a guy who ended up getting arrested, served some jail time for doing some not so nice things with his money. And all of a sudden, the Denver Baseball Club, they had to figure out a way to make up that difference. Charlie Monfort was the one who stepped up to bring in those extra funds. And look, you go back and watch highlights from the 2007 Rocktober run, and the first person at the mic when the Rockies defeated the Arizona Diamondbacks in game four of the 2007 NLCS, right here behind me at Coors Field, the first person at the mic was not Dick Monfort. It was Charlie Monfort. September 2nd, 2010. I didn't do a good job in my notes. I'm not going to read all of this, but wild game. Phillies beat the Rockies 12-11, and it was to make up for a game in May. Both teams had to come to Denver just for that game. Rockies got 20 hits, homer by Cargo, who hits an extra base hit for the 10th consecutive game. Julius Chacin was great when he was a starting pitcher back then. 5 1/3 innings pitch, but the bullpen just couldn't do it at all. They lose that game. Giants fodder. I got some Giants stuff to talk about, as obviously they are in town. Randy Rodriguez not going to be closing out games in the ninth. During this series, won't be a factor in the series at all. He is on the IL and has been recommended for Tommy John surgery. This was a breakout year for him in his age 25 season after debuting last year. Was an all-star for the National League this year. He assumed closer duties once Camilo Duvall was dealt to the Yankees. So we'll see Ryan Walker with that crossfire, crossfire delivery that he has, similar to Adam Ottavino. He'll finish that role. Jose Buda, who came over in the Mets Tyler Rogers deal, that was a really shrewd pickup for the Giants. We'll see those guys. If you're heading to the ballpark on Tuesday or Wednesday, I hope you don't have a dog allergy. It's Bark at the Park night, two nights. I don't know that they've done it two nights before, or at least not recently. Two nights. It's their Bark at the Park. There's a pregame parade around the warning track. $3 donation to Safe Harbor Lab Rescue. Per dog, 2 days, big deal, big deal. If you are up for that, for sure. Wild the Innocent, Far More Drugs. Was that the company Mickey Moniz was a part of? Yeah, not a good way to start things off, but Charlie Monfort did step up to make that happen. I was talking before, so you guys asked free agents. Kyle Schwarber is a free agent after this year, and are the Rockies going to go after him? No. No, they're not. But I can't stop thinking about his four homer game from Thursday. You know, he had a chance at number five against a position player and didn't happen. Third player this season with a four homer game, Eugenio Suarez and Nick Kurtz, who also almost had a five homer game, hit off the top of the wall. It's interesting. Sarah Langs put this out there from, I believe it was 2004 to 2024. Over 21 seasons, only three players had ever hit four in a game. This year, we get three alone. And I can't help but think, what if Schwarber and Rockies? I can't help but think, what if? Because there was a contingency of folks with the Rockies organization who wanted Kyle Schwarber after the 2021 season and not Chris Bryant. They wanted Schwarber because, sure, you can look at Bryant and say he's got more flexibility. He might be more nimble. You know, he's got more of a baseball body stature, if you will. But if you knew anything about that Cubs clubhouse, if you knew anything about who the winners were with that team, who made that clubhouse go and drive, it was Kyle Schwarber. He was one of those big guys. And Schwarber was more of the leader and the postseason dude than Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant got $182 million for 7 years. And the Phillies, that offseason, they paid $180 million to have both Nick Castellanos and Kyle Schwarber for 4 years together. Schwarber got 4 years, $79 million. Bargain at $20 million a year. Now, he's going to be entering his age 33 season for 2026, and he should be able to get close to about that $80 million figure, even as a DH, as a leader, as a player who has been aging well. The Phillies have really had a little bit of magic. I know the Yankees, you put on that pinstripe, you're going to have some magic. You're going to turn back the clock. You're going to play really great. But the Phillies have had that too. Zach Wheeler, first him, and now Kyle Schwarber. These players that are in their, you know, sort of mid-30s, playing the best baseball of their life. I think the Phillies are going to have to pay up with a couple of their guys entering free agency to extend that just a little bit. Baseball is the best. Appreciate you guys. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons, MLB, the Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Appreciate everybody in the chats. Love you guys. Love all the support. Love all the momentum. But unfortunately, that momentum can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.